the wreck of the beach, baby. Yeah, man.
Double Z's?
Yeah, that's right. ZZ Top
ZZ
with
Top.
Beach Baby.
Yeah.
No, of course, this is the first class, AD.
Yes.
A great pop record, actually.
And do they spell their name F-Y-R-S-T?
Why not?
I would.
No, they don't. No, they're obviously doing a Beach Boys pastiche here, but they're a UK band. They're from England.
Yay!
In this time where they're like Wizard was doing retro Phil Spector-y stuff,
very much Wizard-y, you know the.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a concept album too. Like it sounds like you heard the AM dial scrolling. Right. The whole album has that, so it's like kind of trying to create that image.
You bought the record for the concept or the score?
No, I do a thing where
I got to have
like
that.
I'll have these songs and just curiosity goes. I wonder what the deep cuts on that album are like, and I found it for $1, and I'm like, I'll buy this.
So
and
what's the concept? Like, I mean, all those beautiful beaches in
60s,
England?
60s pop. Okay. And it's good. It's not a bad record. It's sort of like, you know, I'll try that just to see if these one-hit wonders albums are actually good.
Yeah.
Most of the times they're not. Like, Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede.
Blue Suede.
I could...
terrible album.
Yeah, three words. David Essex.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that album, no good?
No good. No bueno.
Well, this one is good. So yeah. If
like
you find
song.
It. Who, you like the song?
I do like that
the
song.
The David Essex song.
It's a great song. It's the only one you're getting.
Rock on is David Essex, right?
Yeah, Rock On is David Essex. Yes, that was a trivia question.
Oh, God. So we missed it.
That
earlier.
You missed, both of you.
All right. Well,
there you go.
Well, the beach is closed apparently. So let's get let's
get
rocking.
Out of the water.
It's time to start cracking here.
Let's crack. Crack is so awesome sometimes.
What's wrong with you?
It's Neil Merriweather.
Neil
Merriweather. I'm on the Hipster Free Classic Vinyl Podcast. You've all been searching for. Now that you found it, get with it. Shabby Road Show.
Shabby Road Show.
Well, hey, Lava.
Hey, Lava.
Guess what?
What?
The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air, your history-free vinyl podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McKay. And now, kick off your shoes and sit right down. Loosen up that pretty French gown. Mm. Let him pour you a good long drink, ladies, because tonight's the night with AD Adams.
Oh, mon chéri. Woohoo. Well, sweet baby barbecue Jesus ribs, Ryan. Here we are again. And in broad daylight, no less.
Okay.
Madam, if you don't shut up that baby up,
I'm going to fuck him.
Oh, how horrifying Sunny Slope is during the day. You can actually see what's in the puddles of Bumhurl Lake when walking across our parking lot. And it looks to me like those damn hobos are eating a lot better than I am, I got to tell you. But in spite of the lowfalutin locals just outside our doors, we are locked securely inside the plush and opulent confines of Shabby Road, the studio featured on the cover of last month's Biohazard magazine. And remember, any infectious chafing or seepage occurs after this new episode spews its sonic love sauce into your ear holes? Don't worry, I know a guy who can fix you right up.
Oh.
But until then, come on in, have a seat, grab yourself a body condom, because we got records.
We do got records. Woo! Yeah, we do. We can't wait to share them with you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is episode 215.
Fitting. Fitting. We got two fitting for you. And here's your change.
Yeah, they are starting to rack up. And speaking of racks, we got the notorious LDB is sitting to my left. That is Liz Damian Brooks. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? It's Sunday. I got lost coming here. in the daylight.
Well, how'd you get along? Oh, because it's daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bars weren't lit up. Yeah. The recognizable like neon beer signs. Yeah.
The check cashing places were not lit up.
Yeah. The landmarks. That just doesn't do it in the day.
Yeah. We're recording this on a Sunday afternoon, and driving in the daytime here is not good. I thought it was in Venezuela.
Yeah, downtown Beirut.
People eating a dog. On
yeah.
The-
Life is good here in the slope.
Yes.
Jesus.
Well, Liz has also brought with her, of course, her computer sidekick known as Sal 5000. What's up, Sal?
All that glitters is not gold.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Interesting commentary.
Description of Sunny Slope, except without the glitter.
No. Gee, God. You know, Liz has actually brought something else with her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
She's got a man.
Mm.
Of course, that is her husband, Mark Damien Brooks. What's up, brother?
Hello.
Oh, wow. Liz is infatuated still.
Hello, friend Mark. How you doing, brother? Doing good?
Doing great.
You look good, man. So you got some time off?
Yeah.
Amen.
Mark is a engineer at the local rock club in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's a monitor guy, front of house guy, all around good guy.
Babysitter.
Great musician. Great musician as well. Mark's got some original music he's posting stuff, and it's sounding awesome.
Mark Damien Brooks, yeah, look that up, man. It's good shit.
Yeah,
really
look that
fucking
up, people.
Yeah, heavy shit.
I need a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. Mom,
you don't make any money in the music business anymore. We talked about this.
Come on.
So Mark's going to sit in and crack wise with us as we dole out these records here, which we're going to get to in just a second before.
Crack wise.
Don't turn it sideways. Turn it crack wise. Alltheworldsastage.net. What do you think about them?
I think that there is nothing better, Ryan. Nothing better than walking down the street, no matter where you may be, and seeing your band's logo on a t-shirt or on a window sticker on the back of a car. Well, maybe there are a few things better, like maybe a good blowjob, a good root beer, and maybe waving a firearm at a slow driver, but that's about it. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is you can get your band's logo out there without being arrested for road rage by simply clicking on over to see our good friends at alltheworldsastage.net, and they will show you more products than you could even shake your firearm at, all of which can be fully customized with your band's logo or favorite photo or graphic. The usual items like ball caps, t-shirts, and wristbands can of course be found, but there are also hundreds of other products and ideas just waiting for your marketing team to unload upon the masses. All the pros go to alltheworldsastage.net for all of their merch and promo needs, and you should too. My friend Bobby Tolbert says, you should definitely get your porno from alltheworldsastage.net.
And then
I reminded him that they sell promo stuff and not porno stuff, and his response was, here, man, you want to hit this? Alltheworldsastage.net. Not porno stuff, promo stuff, and so much more. And there's never a setup charge on orders of 24 items or more. Alltheworldsastage.net.
And I'm happy to offer...
That's alltheworldsastage.net.
.net.
I'm happy to offer 10% getting whacked right off of your order if you mention the Shabby Road Record Show when you put your order together. Good people over there, so
yes,
visit that
good
website.
Fine people.
Today, all right, we've fooled around long enough, AD. I think it's time to draw to see who's going to go first, who's going to be the first one to pull a record out of the old mystery boxes here. Liz has the two playing cards. She is fishing them out of her fishnet stockings right now as we speak. And,
that's what I wear on Sundays.
Let's have Mark say left or right to determine who's going to actually do this thing.
Can I bet on who's going to win?
Yeah, put down your money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Left.
Red.
Boom.
My God.
Boom shakalaka.
How many times in a row have you done this?
At least 100, right?
Oh, God. I think.
Yeah.
So we'll go around the room.
Vegas,
you,
here we come.
You, then Liz, then me.
Okay.
We'll make
a
sandwich.
Yeah. LDB sandwich. Yep.
Put Liz in her stockings in the sandwich.
Yes. All right, cool.
And Mark's in his leather pants. They are quite a team.
He's sitting over there on Old Brownie, and they're making a chorus of leather squeaking.
So if you hear that, that's any extracurricular activity over there.
I mean, two pigs rubbing together.
Them two pigs are heeing and sheeing.
These are chaps.
So you're sitting assless on our couch is what you're trying to tell us. Oh,
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
It's my favorite outfit.
It's a good way to get some sort of disease.
I don't know who's
getting
the worst end of that deal. It's debatable. Oh, Lord. Well, all right. So I'm going first. And I think I mentioned briefly on the last episode about Phil McCormick. I don't know if I actually did.
No.
We might have run out of time doing it. A dear, dear friend of mine, and Mark's and Liz's and Ryan, you met him, you know him.
Great guy, Phil.
Philip Wallace McCormick. Phil McCormick, the former lead singer of the Molly Hatchets, passed away on April 16th, just this past couple weeks ago while we were on the road.
26th.
April 26th, yeah, and
we were in New Orleans.
We were, I think, New Orleans, and it's just shocking news. I mean, you know, he's one of my oldest, dearest, lifelong friends, and it was just shocking news. I mean, you know, Phil, he didn't take care of himself, but you know, you just expected him to live forever.
He was such a big personality that you thought he's invincible.
Big booming voice, great singer, you know, sang in a band called Jazzbo McMahon way back in the old DC days when Mark and I were just cutting our teeth into business and Liz was coming up and working in the bar scene and everything else and with agents and stuff and you know, then he joined our good friends the Road Ducks and sang with them and then started subbing for Molly Hatchet when Danny Joe Brown would not show up or show up sick at gigs and subbed for a bunch of years for them and then finally actually officially joined them in 96, I think it was. So, you know, he passed away in his home, in his own bed, from a heart attack in Jacksonville, Florida. Doctor said he didn't feel a thing, which is good.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you're going to go.
Yeah. You know, and he was a good soul, great soul. I'm going to miss him dearly. But I just wanted to make this segment about him. Just because, you know, I have a lot of love for him, and he made some really good music. It was he and I, for decades, had been talking. He's the guy that turned me on to James Brown, and I knew who James Brown was, but he's like, AD, you got to sit down, and you've got to listen to this. Listen to it. No, listen to it, you know, and he'd put on a James Brown record, and I'd be over at his place, and we'd be puffing and having a Budweiser beer, and and he'd be explaining why that's so goddamn good.
Listen, did he have a favorite song. James Brown record? Was it like the live album?
He just loved it all. I mean,
all of it.
You know, he's one of these guys, and he'd all of a sudden you're talking about James Brown, and he starts talking about P-Funk, and he likes every one of that, too, you know?
Wow.
So he's into his funk, and boom, 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 boom. You know, he's the guy that can, you know, the don't say yeah, say hell yeah. So his delivery was always big and robust. But and you know, I just remember sitting down time after time after time with him and him explaining why Clyde Stubblefield's so bad. And listen to the way that blah blah blah.
Clyde is the drummer.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, and J-Bo Starks was a couple of drummers that James had. Okay. J-Bo Starks and Clyde Stubblefield.
Those guys did not mess around.
No, and listening to how he's doing it, listen with, you know, how he's rapping around the bass and how, oh, man, you know, AD, come on, you gotta like this. You have, I'm telling you, you have to like this.
Yeah.
He's right, you know, he's fucking right. So I remember all that, you know, very dearly and you know, and all the, you know, the times we had. And then, you know, I moved out to Phoenix and he got the Hatchet gig and, so it's, you know, you see each other less, but every time he'd come out to Phoenix, I'd see him or, you know, I'd run into him on the road, wherever, you know, or back home in D.C., whatever. So
you guys talked on the phone a lot, too.
A lot. We talked. Right. You know, our birthdays were near each other, and there was always that annual. Yeah, I mean, we talked anyway, but there was always, you got a birthday coming up,
oh,
baby.
I love the story of, like, how we bet that you would die before 40.
So, okay, well, yeah. So, and my 60th birthday is coming up. So,
good God.
God, right? That's fucking insane, dude. My brain goes, you're 25, you fuck. You know, it's like, but
mine
so,
too.
Just a couple of days before my 50th birthday, phone rings, and it's, you know, I look at the, you know, caller ID, I think back then, and it's Phil McCormick. I'm like, pick it up. Hey, AD, how you doing? I'm like, turning 50, Phil. I guess that's why I'm calling. You know why I'm calling. And so I said, yeah. He goes, how are you doing with that? And I go, 50's a lot of numbers, man. That's a lot. I said, I don't know, man. I'm not doing too good. It's like, that's old. He goes, let me tell you something, motherfucker. He goes, all your friends were betting against you, including me, you'd ever reach 30, you know? And I'm like, oh, true, I get it, I, you know? And we're laughing, you know, he's laughing. And he goes, hell, come around to 40, and I doubled down. I figured there's no way you can reach 40. And I'm like, all right, okay, that's fair, you know? And he goes, and now you're turning 50. I'm like, yeah, yeah, turning 50, man. It's tough. And he goes, hell, man, you're on bonus time. Embrace it, my friend.
Yeah.
And that was the greatest advice I ever got.
Very true. There's yes. Ain't nothing you can do about
not
it.
Not a goddamn thing. You're going to turn it around. What are you going to do? You know? Like, so I say, embrace it, my friend. You're on bonus time.
On bonus like, time.
Fuck, okay. You know, that made so much sense. So you start to think about all that, you know, and it has made being in my 50s earlier. You know, I'm in a young man's sport. Rock and roll is a young man's game. The music business is a young man's game, unless you've got, you know, we all got lucky where you could grow old with rock and roll, because rock and roll was a baby when we joined in. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were able to grow up with it. But you know, now, you know, that rock and roll's run its sort of genealogical cycle, a generation or two have gone by. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a young man's game. You know, they're making the you know, the 17-year-old teenage pop stars again.
Boy bands.
You know, boy bands, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's interesting because you have, like, the Rolling Stones are out on tour. And Queen is huge, and you see these old men with gray hair and young kids in the audience because they like the music.
Well, I think the one thing, yeah, the music held up is yeah. that the one thing, too. But, yeah, but, I mean, coming into the game, you know, you're not going to come into the music business. Hi, I'm a 50-year-old, you know, man, and I sing pop songs. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I get Jay-Z to produce my album?
Right, exactly. So right, exactly. You know, me and my accountant friends have a boy band. We're really, really popping. Yeah. So,
would you like to hear our demo tape? It's actually a cassette.
Hand me that pencil. It's come loose. So you twist it, you know, put the pencil in the spool and tighten it, you know. So, yeah. So, anyway, you know, I just wanted to bring up Phil, and I wanted to dedicate this this segment to him. I'm going to be flying back. By the way, his memorial is June 30th back home. I think it's in, I think Sterling, Virginia. There's a club down there that the Ducks play, Road Ducks play, and everybody's going to be there. I think, Warren Haynes is going to be there.
Nice.
He's hanging out because he knew him. There's going to be a lot of the old people. I don't know if Charlie Daniels, but, you know, he made friends with all these legends, you know, the guys from Marshall Tucker and the guys from Bigfoot. Big Blackfoot.
Bigfoot. Is there a band called Bigfoot? I hope so.
And if not, they should be called one.
That's our new band.
Bigfoot.
Please welcome Bigfoot.
But the different bands. So there's going to be a lot of people there and a lot of his old friends. And I don't know if you guys can fly back for that, but I got some airline points that I'm going to use up and fly back. And
that'll be a fun show.
It's going to be a big jam session.
It's a Road Ducks gig.
The Road Ducks now, the night before, it's Road Ducks weekend. The night before, in the same club, they're celebrating their 5,500th show.
Jesus.
So, you know, and of course, Bopper died, you know.
Yeah. Jay's still playing drums?
Yeah. Jay's playing drums, you know, and the senator is thinking about flying up from Florida. The senator, hell yeah.
The senator is what?
One of the guitar players.
Okay, not an actual senator.
No. Like, well,
maybe now.
He could be.
Senator John Kerry.
He wrote it. He always
reporting for duty.
You remember
guitar.
Maryland Musician Magazine, and every month it was a monthly regional rock magazine. And every month it came out, or week, it came out every week, or 2 weeks or something, he had a column called The Senator Says. And it was all about, just words of wisdom and absolute smartassery written as if, you know, you were being told by your local
senator.
Official.
Yes. Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so Senator's coming up. They lost Bopper. We lost Bopper, about 5 years ago, I think it was. So Bopper's gone. Wally's gone. Phil's gone. They called him Wally because Wallace is his middle name, Philip Wallace McCormick.
Okay.
And then you got the senator. You got Booter. He's coming in from Seattle.
What a bunch of characters man.
Jeez. Dude, the greatest, man. They're just great. Mm. So it's going to be good to see them. Sadly, that's going to be the occasion. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to play a part of Phil's life But before I do, I was looking, you know, I was looking for things because, I mean, I could tell personal stories all day long, but I wanted to see some, like, other takes on it. I ran across this website called DeShare. And Dreshare, D-R-E-S-H-A-R-E, Dreshare. Somebody Dreshare. For fuck's sake.
My boobs are hanging out.
Can you lift that one for me? I think I keep stepping on it.
Cher has boobs.
Oh, what? You're sure, yeah. What? But no.
Cher, did you have plastic surgery done on your boobs as well?
Can you tell?
No.
Oh, then yes. No. No. I don't know.
Oh, we lost her. She fell.
So
again.
So I found this dress share, and it says that.
Now I can't.
It says, right? It says, Phil McCormick, wiki, age, wife, biography, family, death, cause, and facts. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's the headline.
They probably do that for everybody. That's what the site is, I imagine.
Well, I'm thinking this was the language, the writing style is sort of overseas tech assistant.
Okay.
It's just the read. I was just like, really? It's like, you could read the same sentence over and over and go, what the fuck did they say? So just for my own amusement, I just want to read a bit of this.
Does it start with
No. Meanwhile, Phil makes albums such as Silent Reign of Heroes and Beer League. Flirting with Disaster is his band's debut album of 1978. Soon, it becomes a massive hit of that time. Epic Records releases the Music Tracks album. Additionally, the band faces many changes past four decades. It includes the Spilled of the 1990s.
What?
However, McCormick has died as on 27th April. Meanwhile, the news confirmed the Road Ducks music team. Phil regularly performs with them. It's awesome.
Can we isolate that clip and it'll be like the promo for the Shabby Road Records show?
And I'm just, you know, and I'm you know, because I'm so sad. I'm doing research on one of my truly my best friend's deaths, and I'm just giggling through this thing and going, Phil would be having a field day with
yes,
this.
Yes, goddamn. Yeah.
I swear to God, people are getting dumber every day, A.D. Adams.
Can you read a sentence of that in Phil's voice?
You know, the Road Ducks is the band based in Virginia. Hell yeah. In fact, they release it, the statement and praise Phil's singer skills. Boom, boom, boom. It is a tough time for us after losing our soul. We are praying to his family. Well, that's nice. You know, Phil's always been a real good guy. Ever tell you how I met Phil?
No.
Anyway, so yeah, so and I'm reading this, and I had to read it, and it just over and over going, this is fun, this is adorable.
Yeah.
So anyway, God rest you, Phil McCormick. I love you. You know, we all do. Anyone who's ever met you loves you, and I'm gonna miss you like a motherfucker, dude. And I can't wait to sing and play with you, and you know, at your memorial on June 30th. So.
Yeah.
But what I did was I brought a first time. I believe it's a first timer. Now I looked on my archives.
Those are inaccurate.
And Steve Seaborg's archives.
Okay, those are accurate.
And I swear to God, I thought I brought this record, but I had never brought Get Ducked
yes,
by the Road
you
Ducks.
Did.
It's not on the archives.
I swear to God you did.
I thought I had too.
Really?
Dude, I swear to God, I thought I had. And
You brought it when Bopper died.
That was 5 years ago. Was it right before we started the show?
No, I remember you talking about Bopper on the...
Dude, I went to...
He was
here.
Sick.
I swear to God... I thought I played Laughing Eyes.
Okay, well, I don't know. If the archives do not have it, then...
I looked on his, too, twice. I looked on mine once.
Well, those are just wrong.
Right, exactly. Hell, I don't even have episode 177 on mine, so...
He just didn't feel like that. No.
I was looking something up, and I went, oh...
Well, your computer doesn't have a 7 key.
No, it's got a joystick and 3 red buttons. Like my clown suit.
Whoa.
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 So I brought an album called Get Ducked, of course, by the legendary Road Ducks. If you've ever been to any club on the eastern seaboard, as a matter of fact, anywhere from the southern tip of the southern key of Florida all the way up through, I would say... Delaware.
At least.
And New Jersey, if not beyond, you have seen the Road Ducks at one time. If you were in any bar in during between 78 And, well, now, you'd see them, especially if it was a beach town. Mm. But they were great friends of all of ours, Liz and Mark and I, from back in the day. And I was a road duck. I played with them for a little while when, you know, they were in between players and stuff. So cool. Did some road work with the road ducks. Now, a road duck is an interesting term. A road duck is like a dog end in that it's when you smoke a cigarette. You're smoking a cigarette and you're almost down to the butt, right? And you just toss it. You
okay.
Throw it down. Well, so I'm a bum and I need a smoke. So I pick up your dog end or I pick up your road duck.
Oh, okay.
That's a
never heard it referred to that before. Dog end. I've never heard that either.
Song Aqualung refers to it.
Really? Dog end?
As he bends to pick a dog end.
Really?
He goes down to the pot to warm his feet. Yeah.
And so the flute comes in and fucks it all up.
Yes, you did play it.
What episode?
Episode 6.
And I played Laughing Eyes,
Laughing
right?
Eyes.
Okay, that was for Bopper, because Bopper sang that one.
It was an intro song.
Oh, is that what it was?
Okay, then. See,
wow.
There you go. Good work, Liz.
Liz is killing it over there. Sal and Liz together.
Damn, what a team over there, you.
I know, thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. Look at you go.
I rock.
All right, well, can we do it officially then, Laughing Eyes? Because we talked over it.
No, well, Bopper sang Laughing Eyes.
Oh, you want to hear Phil, of course.
Oh, we're going to hear Phil. We're going to fucking hear Phil. He is throwing the fuck down on this song called Payback's a Bitch.
Okay. I love this
dude,
one.
Dude, this is funky. You're going to hear the James Brown in him.
Okay.
It's a funky, rocking song. This was written by Johnny Neal. Now, Johnny Neal wrote for the Allman Brothers and Dickie Betts and played keyboards for them. The album, the Get Ducked album, came back in 1987 on Duck Songs Records, was produced by Nerval, our friend Nerval.
Really?
Yep, Bill Culver. And John Beale. Wow. They all had names. Nerval.
I know. It's like, can't escape getting a nickname.
And John Beale also was a producer on this. But, dude, this song rocks balls. Phil McCormick, you are just... I miss you already. But this, just dig this. You got your Bopper on guitar and back vocals. You got Phil McCormack, boom, 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 Mr. Intensity on lead vocals and harmonica. Bob Sloan Melchior, Sloan, on bass. Ace Racy on drums. Jimmy Racy on drums. Bill the Senator Schmidl on the guitars. Ed Steadley Callan on the keyboards. And, of course, Jay Nedry is your executive producer and former drummer for them, an occasional drummer now, and great friend and leader of the Ducks since day one. So
nice.
Payback's a Bitch.
All right, here we go.
Go Phil McCormick. I love you, man. I'm going to miss you, buddy.
Just remember, baby, I'll get you in the end.
motherfucker, yeah.
I do like that record a lot.
Road Ducks. Dixie Road Ducks, proud of the South.
Dixie.
Yeah, that's the Road Ducks from the Get Ducked album. That's Payback's a Bitch. Our dear friend, our dear late friend, Philip Wallace McCormick, sadly passed away. And boy, I miss him.
Yeah.
You know? But, dude, an all-star lineup on this record. A DC legend. Ron Holloway's playing the sax on this.
Wow.
Gary Adams on lead trumpet.
Is that you remember relation to you?
No, God no. Well, he's not claiming it anyway. Kim Clark, the great Kim Clark, singing background vocals on that. Johnny Booter, of course, on keyboards. And from the Nighthawks, Mark Wenner playing some harmonica on that and some tambourine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, tambourine. Yeah.
Very nice.
That.
All right, man. Phil McCormick, R.I.P.,
yes.
brother.
Philip. Miss you, my friend. Miss you. Miss you greatly. I love you.
So Liz has a record she's going to share with us.
Yes, I do.
What you got for us, Liz?
Well, kind of keeping in theme with hometown musicians.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And, of course...
I smell angels.
No. and my... all-encompassing thing of girls rock.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
I was kind of thinking along the same lines as you were, is about Phil and you know, the passing and everything. And so it got me to thinking about and playing some of Eva Cassidy's music.
Oh!
Do you have that on vinyl?
Yes, I do. I have a few.
Man.
Cool. Eva Cassidy. Now, you've brought her before, yeah?
I did.
The Songbird album?
Yes, I brought the song. This is American Tune.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
And I read recently that they are taking that album that she recorded at Blues Alley.
Yeah.
And mixing it with the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh,
wow.
What?
So I'm waiting. That's supposed to be coming out, I think, later next month.
You know, she really hit in England after she passed. Yeah, she hit it big.
Oh,
she's the Rodriguez of England.
Okay. Now, can we set up Eva Cassidy again for those that don't remember? I know that she's a local D.C. area. What was her story again?
Well, she was actually a landscaper and not really... she was kind of shy, not really one to put herself out there.
Yeah.
And the people that she was around, she played music. She's been playing music since she was young. And the people that she was around were the ones that got her into the music business. They're like, you should get out there and play.
Yeah, you're good at this shit.
And so they did some recordings. And I mean, she's just phenomenal.
Yeah, she recorded
voice.
She fell under the tutelage and wing, and ultimately, I believe, married a DC production legend, Chris Biondo.
Yes.
And Chris actually worked with Monarch's first professional recording was done with Chris Biondo.
Your old band.
Catch a Buzz Studio, yeah.
Catch a Buzz Studio?
CMB Studio, yeah.
What are we doing in this shabby road? Yeah, Catch a Buzz is a way better name.
He changed the name, of course, after we got there. Caught the buzz. Burned the place down studios.
Stole them.
Yeah.
Ruined all the
ruined all the gear studios. Spilled beer on my 24-track Studer. Studios.
Wow. Don't book time there.
Yeah.
What era? Can I ask what era, like what years this
70s,
was happening?
70s,
is
late
she a 70s?
Early 80s.
80s?
Yeah.
Early 80s, yeah.
Early
she
80s.
Was, yeah. She was born the day after me.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, yesterday was my mom's birthday and tomorrow's Jeff, my brother's birthday.
I said happy birthday to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lots of Adamses.
Happy birthday, Jeff, since you're never on Facebook.
Yeah, we're popping up like whack-a-moles. I'm Adamses. So, So then she, you know, Chris, you know, kind of he helped her refine her sound. But and I wouldn't put it all on him. She defined her own sound.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, you know, he owned the studio. So he was able to help her. And they formed a relationship. And I think they married. I can't be sure.
I can't remember.
But it was a relationship. It ended up in a very, very close relationship.
Liz, you mentioned an album called Blues Alley. I seem to recall a story about she was sick with cancer.
Yes, she was.
So what's the story on that album?
She died the day before it was actually released.
Okay, and then and she was sick. She was very sick at the time.
Yeah, she had, I mean, it was a six, I think it was about maybe 6 weeks from finding out to her
yeah,
death.
It was fast. It was like, holy shit, yeah.
It was just, she was working in her landscaping, and she just felt like she hurt. And so she went to the doctor, and she found out that she had cancer. Wow. And it was within... Honestly, I think it was about within 6 weeks. So this Blues Alley is the
last show.
Yeah, it's a live show at Blues Alley, and it's a kind of an acoustic.
Yeah,
and it is the last thing she ever did, and
heart wrenching, gut wrenching.
Yeah, and the day before, I'm not sure if it was the day before, but just before the album actually was pressed and released, she died.
Wow.
But shocking to the DC scene because she was so beloved. Yeah. Her voice is so pure, just truly the voice of an angel.
Yeah, and that album is like, and everybody knew what was going on. So that album is just like, you can listen to it and you can hear that, you know that she's going to die.
You can smell the love in the room on the vinyl.
Yeah.
Smell is a weird word for that.
Maybe I should
smell the love.
Probably should wash my hands before I put the record on.
Ew, I'm going to tell you, there have been so many of the current day artists or would-be artists like American Idol and The Voice singers and all that have gone on these shows and used Eva Cassidy's versions of like Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Yesterday as their auditions and their songs on
the
shows.
They didn't use the Judy Garland live version that AD played last week?
No. Oh, God, no.
Oh, God.
Judy.
Oh, excuse me.
That was leftover.
That smells like pasta in here.
So what's the album you... Now, you got like...
I have American Tune.
Okay, so this is where does this fall in her discography? First album, second album, third?
Honestly, most of her albums were released afterwards.
Posthumously.
Yes. Mm.
And again,
they were just put together by
Chris. And her family, I believe.
And the tapes that
Mom
she
had
made.
Something to do with it.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you can find them on vinyl.
Yeah.
I guess. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Almost every one of them.
Wow.
But when her Songbird album came out,
That was in her lifetime?
No, past her lifetime.
Past her lifetime.
Did she ever release any albums in her lifetime?
She released... My brother Jeff wrote or recorded a song with her and Chris Biondo.
Wow.
It was called The Wedding Song.
So 45, maybe, in her lifetime.
She was doing singles, and local things, whatever you would do locally. I think she put out some singles. I don't think she... That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't believe she put out a proper... studio album. If she did, it would have been Songbird, but I think it was all posthumous.
Yeah, wow. I think everything is posthumous.
I might be wrong, but England got a hold of Songbird, and holy Jesus! I mean, it hit number one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was an enormous hit.
Wow.
In England, yeah.
All right, so you've got this record, and what are you thinking about playing?
Well.
Payback's a bitch.
There's a couple of songs that I,
an odd choice for a cover.
There's a couple of songs really thinking of playing. True Colors.
Ooh,
that's not the Cyndi Lauper one.
Yes.
Oh, I love that song.
It's better than Cyndi Lauper.
And then,
really?
Wow. Yesterday.
The Paul McCartney penned Beatles.
Better than Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not bad at all.
No, it's not.
I just asked Linda and I. Which one's better? Boppity boppity boo and all that.
Linda. That's still my favorite part.
So, what do you guys want to hear?
I love True Colors. Dude, I mean, that's a great song.
That's a good song, and she does the shit out of it.
She does, yes. True Colors, then?
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yay. Okay. Eva Cassidy.
Eva Cassidy, True Colors.
Come here, Eva.
Another DC legend.
Yes, beautiful woman.
Wow, you better have something from DC, Ryan. You better have brought a Monarch record, Ryan.
You better
have brought yourself a DC Star album.
DC Star. Yeah.
You with the sadness. Don't be
In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all, and the darkness there inside you makes you feel so small. But I see your true color shining through. See your true
Yeah, you used the word pure to describe her voice. I think that was completely accurate.
Yeah.
You know, there's a purity in that voice for sure.
So angelic.
There's no affectations, and it's just beautiful. It's like angelic, yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Just really, simple. Really good. Mm-hmm. And I think I earlier mentioned the 70s and 80s, which is impossible because it was the 50s and 60s. No, but I don't know what I'm thinking. Me and Jeff were doing the Monarch thing in the 70s and 80s. I'm like, so I don't know where my brain went, but it was 80s and 90s. Yeah. And
that album, you said, was recorded when? 94, 95?
This one? No. She only had one proper album on her own. She did a studio. Her first album, with her credited album, was in 92 with DC hip hop legend Chuck Brown. So her and Chuck Brown doing a record.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard it. You said it's kind of bluesy though.
Yeah,
they did
Old Black Magic.
Okay, right, there you go. That's cool. Ooh, mm-hmm. Check that one out.
Old Black Magic, keep on rolling.
No, this not that one.
That one? I love that song. So 80s and 90s, not she, 70s
yeah,
and 80s.
Yeah, and then she did the Blues Alley album, right. And that came Blues out in 96.
Alley. Right.
And you had mentioned she died just before that. So she died in 96. So her first, she never really did a quote unquote proper studio album. She recorded a bunch of studio tracks, but everything that came out past her, after she passed away, is a compilation record, I think, maybe by definition, or is that a little weird?
Posthumous.
Yeah, I mean, some of the same songs are on other albums.
Yeah, they seem to be compiled,
I mean,
it wasn't a lot.
Okay,
but he had a lot of tapes, so...
A lot of ADATs, right, Mark?
Yeah.
All right, well, moving on,
that's
I got...
Awesome. Cassidy, right?
I got the next pick here. I brought this amazing record that has been on the show before. It's one of the best albums ever made.
Ah, thanks,
Ryan. Angel.
So I've been on this kick, right, of I went to the record store on Friday when we were down here, or Thursday when we were down here, and I picked up the album Never a Dull Moment by Rod Stewart, which completes my Rod Stewart collection, because all you want are the first four Rod Stewart albums.
Yeah, the quote, the essential Rod Stewart collection.
Yes, I mean,
yeah,
apparently he kept making records, but we don't acknowledge those.
I think he's making
a new one tomorrow.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was listening to that, and I was listening to the Stones album that you, Gary Gilson, gifted it to me.
Yeah,
Some Girls, Some Girls, great record. So I'm going back and forth listening to the Rod Stewart, the Rolling Stones. And then I thought, okay, so I'm getting ready to go to my gig yesterday. And I feel like, oh, I got like 35 minutes. Let me just pop on a record and kind of chill for a bit and listen to a record. But what record should I listen to? You know, I was listening to that Rod Stewart record, and I'm like, you know, he sounds an awful lot. He's definitely borrowed and learned everything that he knows from a certain singer. And I'm going to reach into my record collection and
Frankie Miller.
No, not Frankie Miller.
We love Frankie Miller.
I know, we do love, and he's coming up on a show. Believe me, he's chambered. But no, I mean, if you listen to a Rod Stewart album... And also another man that stole a lot of licks from this singer is Steve Perry from Journey. So I reached into my record collection and pulled out one of the greatest albums ever made.
It's got to be Steve Marriott, right?
Sam Cooke.
Cooke.
Yeah. Oh.
Live at the Harlem Square Club, 1963.
Oh, that record.
This record.
Oh, that's a fucking...
Sam...
Yes.
Flippin' Cooke, man.
Ryan McKay, I
ran across the room and took that from you.
Oh, Sam Cooke. Now, this album is tremendous. It is one of the best albums you'll ever hear. It was on the show before. I played Bring It On Home to Me.
Yes, that's my favorite song.
Mm. I'm going to go with another classic, and as a matter of fact, it's on that Rod Stewart album. He covered it. It's Twistin' the Night Away.
Again, another
one. Oh, it's so good. Now, so the thing about this record, right, is that it was recorded in 1963, not long before Sam died.
Lady.
Lady, you shot me. His last words, lady, you shot me. And so it was shelved. RCA was like, this is too intense for our... Because they had tried to mold Sam Cooke into a very clean cut. If you think of Darling, You Send Me, you know, and all that. They kind of molded him. And when they heard the tapes from the show in an all-black club in Miami, Florida, this claustrophobic, sweaty, killing it, and it's just this incredible show. They were like, this is too much.
They got
in 1963, bothered. It was too much.
Oh, white we're guys trying scared to, of that shit.
Yeah, the white yeah. people were not. They, the white people would be scared of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they just shelved it. And in 1985, they found these master tapes like, oh, what's this? And they whoever put it, those reels on were like, oh, this is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank good Lord.
Yeah. So and in preparation for the show, I watched the new documentary on Netflix. Have you seen this?
No.
The two killings of Sam Cooke.
I saw that in there in the menu. Yes. And I was like, I think I have to
cannot
watch
recommend it anymore. I mean, I learned a lot about Sam Cooke from that. So he's the son of a hellfire gospel preacher.
Okay.
Right? That's and so they grew up in the South.
That delivery from.
Mm-hmm. They grew up in the South, and then they, I mean, there's the racism at the time and the Jim Crow and all the bullshit, which is just in the film and the documentary, it's so hard to see that stuff. It's like, it is just an abomination. They really lean heavy in the doc about how bad it was and all the things about Jim Crow and all that stuff, you know. So they went up to Chicago and he grew up basically in Chicago. And there was also like the segment about how he ended up, you know, he sang in gospel, what was it, the Soul Stirrers was his first gospel group.
That sounds right, yeah.
And but then he made the switch to secular music, which was a bold move because once you've done that, you are shunned by the gospel community.
Yeah.
Like you have done that. So he...
A couple artists had done that. Nina Simone, I believe, did that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a bigger deal. And I liked how that doc made, you know, made mention of that and the gravity of that.
Yeah.
And especially when your dad's a preacher, you know. But the one thing that, about Sam Cooke that people forget is like he is the guy that wrote these songs. He wrote the songs, right? He's not just a guy standing up there singing.
Right, yeah.
You know, he's a guy that wrote it. And he was also a really bright businessman. And he started his own label, SAR Records. And he brought his gospel friends onto his own label. So he was... It was I found that the most interesting part, you know, of the doc. You know,
I did not know that about him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, I knew he wrote, but I didn't know about the record label.
Oh yeah, he had his own label, and he was bringing his buddies up to, you know, record on the label and put the stuff out. Of course, he was getting ripped off by Alan Klein, but who wasn't?
Yeah, right.
So you know, there was all that stuff, so all that mess that was happening. Just before his death. Now, his death, of course, is covered in the documentary. Oh. The two killings of Sam Cooke is he was actually killed, of course, and then she killed him again. The killing, the second killing is that his legacy was also killed. You know, it was they put it out as there's a conspiracy around it. So if you think about his death and I guess it's not really a spoiler, but if you're going to watch it, maybe I may spoil a few things. But so he's out partying with his buddies and he ends up finding a girl at the bar. Now, during the party, one of his friends, who is also his engineer for a lot of his records.
He had a train?
Yeah, woo-woo. The pips out.
Yeah. It was like train.
Yeah.
I was letting you borrow it.
The guy's great too. He's an engineer, and they became fast friends, you know. And it was like, he said it was like fish in a barrel recording Sam Cooke because he wrote the songs, he knew what he wanted, and it was just like we just hung out and just we just banged him out, and it was
and
great working
the
with
label
him.
Too. So, yeah. You know, wow.
So he comes off the road, Sam Cooke, and he's got this big wad of cash, and he showed it to his friend, you know. It's like, hey, check out this big wad of cash, and like, look how much money I made, you know. And the guy's like, okay, well, put that away, you know, because you don't go into a bar and go, well, look at all the cash I have, everybody.
Ching, 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 yeah.
Which was telling in the show because, you know, it comes back later in this death because that night, so he picks up, you know, he's drinking his martinis. He picks up this chick, takes her to a hotel room, all right? And this girl claims that she was kidnapped. She calls 911. She's flipping out and all this. And she ends up. She's in there, and her testimony was that she was thrown down on the bed, and it was violent and all this stuff. And everybody that knew Sam Cooke were like, no, and that's not Sam. You know, that's not him. And so she's like, I grab my purse and I grab my clothes and I got the hell out of there. She grabs Sam's pants.
Okay. Oh, his wallet.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. she grabs the pants and then she splits and she's gone. Now, Sam Cook is like, he was in the bathroom when she split. So he comes out of the bathroom, realizes his pants are gone, which includes his big wad of cash that he was throwing around. And he goes looking for her. And he thinks that she's at the manager's office. So she goes to the manager's office and he's banging on the door. Let me in and all this. And this lady who's the manager answers and he apparently got violent with her. And she pulls out a gun and shoots him dead. Lady, you shot me.
Yeah, lady, you shot me.
And in the documentary, they've got footage of like the hotel room. They got the trial where the lady that shot him, Bertha Franklin.
Oh, no shit.
And, wow. and the prostitute. Oh, the lady that he took home was a prostitute. And,
you mean the working woman?
Yes, well.
The cleaning woman.
And all this, yeah. So it's a very good documentary. So they posit a theory that because he was so popular and also very he was tied in with Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown.
Okay.
And these figures of that were the beginning. I mean, this is 1963, 64 when he died.
Real sort of acceleration of the civil rights movement.
Of the civil rights movement and Black Power and all that stuff. So they feel like they kind of, I don't really buy into this theory that the mafia rubbed him out because the mafia was controlling so much of the music industry. And Sam wanted to, he had his own label and the mafia were like, we understand you got your own label. Yeah. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck you. I ain't scared of you. And even they say at one point in the documentary that, Sammy Davis Jr. called Sam Cooke and said,
hey, baby.
Babe.
Me and Altavis were talking, babe. Listen.
Listen.
And oh, shit. Hey, can you hand me my eye? Babe, no, don't step on that. No, it's not. No, don't put that in my martini, babe. No.
It's not an olive.
Actual quote. You've seen the documentary, too, I see.
Yes, yeah.
No, he said, listen, babe, don't mess with these. You don't want to fuck with these guys because they're serious.
They're rough dudes.
You don't mess. And he probably knew a little bit about the mafia and the music business, hanging out with
a little bit
Sinatra and whatnot.
Little Joey Bishop.
Yeah. So, but Sam was like, no, the overarching theme is that I'm not just a singer. I want. You know, it was civil rights. It was everything.
Pie, yeah.
It was everything else. You know,
I can do this on my own. I fucking earn it.
Yeah. So it was a really, really good documentary.
Wow.
Now, back to the record here and Twisting the Night Away. I mean, this may be a tired old song to some, but when you hear it in this context, it is absolutely spellbinding. This record, it's so fierce. It's like a hurricane, this thing. And there's a lot of crowd participation in it. If you recall, Bringing On Home to Me, where he has them all singing,
God,
yeah.
Yes.
I say, yeah, and all that. In this one, at the end of it, my favorite part of the whole song is the end of it, where he's like, everybody got handkerchiefs. Everybody's dancing. Get your handkerchiefs out and wave your handkerchiefs around. And he's singing it like, wave your handkerchief around. And then it becomes a chorus. And he's like, let's do it again. And then there's all, and you can hear him cue in the band, like, when to stop. We gotta quit it. Ra-ta-ta-ta, come on. You know, and stop. You know, stop the song, you know. And it's just like this, the abandonment of the whole proceedings is just, and the band is cooking and swinging.
That's, man.
It is so good, this record. I can't stress enough how great this record is. Live at the Harlem Square Club, 1963. If you go on to your Apple Music or your Spotify's and stuff, you'll see it as a One Night Stand. Live at the Harlem Square Club. So look for it.
Okay,
and,
right. That's
So here we go one more time with this Sam Cooke record. This thing needs to be played in its entirety. You know, at some point in the show, like every 6 weeks, we need to bring another track on this album. It's just so good.
And I thought you meant every 6 weeks we just play the whole thing in its entirety.
Yes, I would do that too. But I went down the rabbit hole, and so I ended up listening to the record yesterday, and I had to leave for my gig, and I put it on Spotify to get to the gig, and I just looped it on the way home from the gig. I listened to it. I told Dylan my co-pilot with the acoustic gig that we do. I said, you've got to listen to this record. So I had him on it, and I'm listening to it. And then I woke up this morning. I told my brother, Eric, about just being in the Sam Cooke vortex right now. And he texted me. He's like, you've seen the documentary then? I'm like, no, there's a documentary on Netflix. And so I watched that today. And so the vortex is continuing here. But here it is from actually June of 85 is when the record came out on RCA. Twisting the Night Away from the inimitable Sam Cooke.
You know who else had Sam Cooke as a...
Influence. Well, I got Stewart and Steve Perry. Who else?
Bon Jovi.
Really?
Yep.
I don't hear that at all. He wasn't listening close enough.
Wasted on that Jersey boy.
Not the new stuff.
You feel like you want to twist a little line now, huh? I said, do you feel like you want to twist a little line? All right, let's go. Come on. I put it anywhere. About a place somewhere New York way, or where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Oh man, they have a lot of fun. They put trouble on the run. Oh man, you kind of old New York, twisting the night away. They're twisting up, twisting up. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting up. Twisting, they're twisting the night. Let me tell you about him. Here's a man in evening clothes. How he got here, I don't know. But, oh man, you want to see him go. Twisting the night away. Cats dancing with the chicken slacks. That chicks are moving up and back. Oh man, there ain't nothing like twisting the night away. Twisting, everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, they're twisting. All right, everybody, let's twist a little while. Let's twist. Oh. So moving up and back. Oh man, there ain't nothing like twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody, oh yeah. Twisting, they're twisting, they're twisting. One more time, everybody twisting. Oh!
Jesus.
Jesus.
Fucking joint is rocking.
Isn't that something?
I'll have a beer. I want a beer. I'm getting a fucking beer.
I want one,
right
too.
Right now. I'm going to get you one. I swear to God.
Actually, I'll have some of that Jameson IPA thing. Is what I want over there. I'm looking at that going, what's that? You're
you want,
new.
You want to rock or with it or just straight up?
Straight up's fine. So I remember when I put the record on yesterday. I hadn't heard it for so long, sadly. Dude, I should listen to it every day.
Fucking ripping.
I put it on and I remember like by the time track two was going and Chain Gang, I was just sitting in my chair and smiling and just shaking my head back and forth going, damn. And when you watch the documentary, the best part of the... he's just chugging that fucking Jameson. Did you just pound that?
There was like a tiny drip left. He's like, I'm not giving that to Ryan.
The best part of the documentary, they do it twice. I believe they do it the front and it closes with it, which is cool because you've seen the story at the end. And it comes back again. What happens is you got Quincy Jones, Smokey Robinson, his engineer dude, a couple of journalists, Dionne Warwick talks about him. And they do this thing where they play a track actually from this album. And they just cut to all the people listening to it. And they all had the same face. They all had the smile. You just had it, AD. Yeah, yeah. I was watching you. And I was like, you all... All of you had it. I had it too yesterday. You have this smile, and it's almost like tears are welling up in your eyes because of the joy.
Powerful. It's the magic of music. It literally transports you.
Yeah.
Literally puts you in that room.
Yeah, I wanted to see if you guys were going to make that face, and all y'all did.
Yeah.
And I hope you listening, wherever you're at, you had that face where you're smiling and your head is going side to side. And you watch that documentary and go, I made that face too.
We're watching Quincy
Jones,
you. We're
I
watching
did the
you
same.
Right now.
Yeah.
We can see you doing it.
And you're just like, how intense is this song going to get? Because it just keeps getting better and better as it goes.
I got to find that record. So did you find that record in the wild or did you order that?
I did. I found it in the wild for $4.99 at Zia's.
Oh, then it's findable at that price.
They're out there. $85 it came out. So yeah, well... Take the handkerchief round. Oh. Take the handkerchief round. I love how that becomes a chorus, right?
Some powerful cuts, man. That's a great record. I've got to. That's on my list.
And it doesn't let up. It's 40 minutes of that.
Well, I mean, I've heard two cuts from it, and it's just the energy is through the fucking roof.
You should borrow it.
I will.
You should borrow that.
I absolutely will.
I may not get it back, huh?
Trade you for no, I won't.
All right. Well, the mystery boxes have been... expunged.
Is that right? Sponge. The word sponge around here just conjures up bad thoughts.
The things that could be in a sponge around here.
We need a sponge for our sponge around here.
Are just bad. We appreciate you guys hanging out. Hey, if you enjoyed the music tonight, like you want to find some of that Eva Cassidy of the Sam Cooke stuff, and what'd you bring, AD? You brought your Road Ducks.
Don't say yes, say hell yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. You can find it all on Amazon, but if you go to our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, first, you can click through our Amazon banner, and we get a couple of shekels for the trouble, you know?
Yes.
And it keeps the lights on here and stuff. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just a referral thing that Amazon set up because they've got tens of trillions of dollars in the bank, and they don't give a rat's ass.
Might as well throw a Richard couple of those golden nuggets at our foreheads. Yeah, take this. And it bounces it off your forehead.
But if you're penniless, like me, you can go for free. You can support the show by leaving us an iTunes review. We can always use those. That lists us higher and higher in their directory and stuff like that.
Yes,
so,
and thank you for that.
And you can buy some beer for us as well. Actually, we did have some beer. I apologize for the late the entry here. I forgot to mention Nick Robertson, all the way from the UK, brought the beer tonight.
Thank you, Nick Robertson.
We love you, brother, over there in the UK.
Drinking one right now.
I'm thinking next time we go over there, AD. Me, you, Glenn Bennett, and Gaynor, and Nick Robertson will do London one more time.
Oh, hell yeah.
What do you think, Nick?
Yes.
Let's do that. So, yeah, you can do that by going to our website and clicking on the little beer logo thing there, and it's a PayPal link. So, appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Mark Damian Brooks, thanks for hanging out, brother. It's always great to see you.
Yeah. It was awesome. Great stories about Phil.
Twitter made it over there.
Those doughy eyes.
That's
his.
A different face than we saw you listening to Sam Cooke with there.
That is a different face. Oh, indeed. And that, of course, is Liz Damian Brooks. How are you doing over there, Liz?
I'm doing great.
She loves that Sam Cooke as much as me.
I do. Love it.
So good. Yes. Buy any Sam Cooke record, for God's sake.
Oh,
whatever
geez.
You find out there.
Record's still spinning that.
He's still twisting over there.
He's still twisting.
It's still
that
fading
way.
Out the long fade.
Yeah.
Waving that handkerchief.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it, right? We've done it all. It's time to, oh my God, the sun's still up. It's only like 4 or something.
Did you say goodbye to Sal?
Oh, Sal 5000. Fuck off.
Yeah. Kiss my ass, sugar.
Yeah, okay.
That's what you get.
Lady, you shot me. Oh, we need to get that drop now. Because that's in the documentary.
Is it?
Her saying, lady, you shot me.
Oh, her
saying it.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, what a great show. All right, well, the mystery boxes are empty. So I'm going to jettison myself from Sunny Slope's version of a Death Star trash compactor. just got to have Sal open up the doors so I can rescue Princess Liz. She's rich. From the clutches of my co-host and favorite nerf herder, A.D. Adams.
Well, what? You mean it's time to go already? Well, gee, if it's something we said, we'd like to apologize. Well, we'd like to, but we won't. So fear not fears. We shall return again next week with another brazen excursion into podcast subpardom. Thanks to you, loyal listeners, as always, for tuning in. And to my pal, my co-host, and MTV's most recent pick for hottest legs in a horn band, Ryan McKay. I wish you, sir, a good evening and arrivederci, and your choice of popular colors.
All right.
Hey guys, a portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. Mention Shabby Road Record Show and you'll receive 10% off on your order. alltheworldsastage.net.